So hello everyone. Thank you ladies for joining. I see many are still dialing in, but I want to welcome you. This is Teresa Salhi here, and this is the Chemistry of Love free teleclass, our conference call. Thank you so much for joining. You might want to have your pen and paper handy for note taking and, you know, get yourself all comfy, and we're going to spend a little time here together. I'm going to light a candle or have a glass of wine or something yummy to drink, something gives you a little energy, or some nice fruit smoothie or something. That's what I have here. Just get yourself present and relax and remove distractions or turn off your cell phone. And I know most of you have probably had a busy day, so maybe just relax your shoulders and take a couple of deep breaths and let go of all that stuff today you've done today or that stuff you have to do later, and just be here together. I know some of you have, you know, you already know me and have attended some of my classes or teleclasses before, or even the recent Feminine Way 5-week course, which was really fun, and I know some of you were there, so I appreciate you coming back for this one too. But for those of you that don't know me, let me just tell you a little bit. I am the owner and the creator of Empower the Dream. I'm a certified women's empowerment coach, which means I support you with gaining more confidence and clarity and the results when it comes to achieving success in your life and with your relationships, and which means in business or in your personal life, with your friends or family, and definitely in your romantic life, but most importantly with yourself. And we do so by realizing and accessing your inner feminine essence by using spiritual laws, aligning with new ways to how you can show up in the world. And we do this through programs and personal one-on-one mentoring and classes like this and group coaching as well. So I'm also a law of attraction trainer. And if you don't know what law of attraction is, let me just give you a little snippet of that. Law of attraction is a universal law. It's science, it's spirituality, and it really comes down to how you think and feel is what shows up in your life. So if you're wondering, you know, how you're doing, you know, in your money, your finances, you know, look in your wallet. If you're wondering how you're doing in relationships, look and see how they're showing up. And it really just means that we have these thoughts and our feelings, and it's this energetic force that, like a magnet, attracts more of the same, matching it back into our life. So I've been certified into teaching that, and I've had seminars on that, and I really find it's a very powerful tool. Now, when I first heard about that, I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I've created this crap in my life, and it was a little disheartening at first, but the truth of it is it also gave me a lot of power too. Well, if I created things I don't want, then how can I change that and create what I do want? And that's the essence of it, to know how to use it deliberately. So it's always part of everything that I do, and the classes and the teaching and the coaching that I do, it's always part of it. And we'll talk more about that as we go forward. I was also in the movie Kamari, The False Prophet, if you've heard of that. I've been on local radio and TV in the past, too. And then in my little bit further back past, maybe 3 years ago, but for about 15 years, I worked in the corporate environment for quite a few years, managing, you know, teams of up to 100 in the U.S. and in India. So I have quite a diverse background. I'm also a mother and a wife, a marathon runner, and I've traveled all over the country and internationally, and even done marathons internationally. I like Bikram yoga and raw food and, you know, just and music. I really love music. So anyway, that's a little bit about me. But let me tell you, I created this program, this particular one, which is also part of a larger one that I'll tell you about a little bit later. But because I noticed with the women that I worked with and personal experience that there's a few key things that keep us from having more love in our life and from the love that we deserve. such as really knowing what it is exactly that we want from a relationship, instead of just settling for what comes along, or how we can get it once we do know, and aligning with the feeling of that and the vision and with our divine spiritual power. Listen, there's also some things that, you know, as women that we often do that push love away. And we don't do this intentionally, but it does happen. So it's about understanding these things so we can stop doing this. And, you know, it's from learned behaviors that we've been taught from others and also some false beliefs that we have about ourselves. These are unconscious ways that we create relationships. And then what are the differences and understanding the differences between men and women? And, you know, what these differences are and to understand the reason for the differences. And when we celebrate them, instead of, you know, we celebrate them, we can make them more powerful in our life. You know, by understanding that, it really does make a world of differences in the relationships that we have and how we show up in the relationship and how our mate shows up. And together, understanding them, we can create more harmony and romance and love and fulfillment. You know, trust me, I've been there. I've been married, divorced, single, all of it. And I've had challenges, and I've been through all of it more than once, unfortunately. I've made lots of mistakes. Even when I thought I was going to do things differently the second time around I was married, I tend to have overcompensated and went too far the other way and made even more mistakes and had more miscommunications. And that all, you know, affected my confidence on how to have a strong, rewarding relationship. But I learned a lot along the way, definitely, which is what we're meant to do, I guess. And I took time and I got myself educated intentionally. And I've certainly come a long way. And I want to share with you a lot of things that I learned. And I've even had, you know, specific training on a lot of this topic, too, for this reason. I mean, when, you know, sometimes our hardest struggles in our life are our biggest message or actually even our purpose too. And that's how I take all of this, working with women and using my own experiences and how to teach and support and share what I've learned and hopefully to empower other women along the way. Now, I am married now to what I call my soulmate, you know, certainly is. And I met Riyadh, his name, when I was traveling in Africa a few years ago. I was in Tunisia, Africa, and the northern part of Africa in the Mediterranean. And so we met there and we dated 9 months on Skype every Saturday. And then he did arrive in the U.S., like I said, 9 months later on Valentine's Day 2010. And we were married that April. And we've been together ever since. And I can tell you I really do believe it was a divine intervention. And I applied what I learned through law of attraction, through my own personal development, from letting go of the past problems and those beliefs I had about myself and how that was holding me back from receiving love. So I applied all those things, and you know, it really does work when we take our learnings, you know, take them intentionally and really do move forward to be our best. So it's been quite a rewarding, exciting journey for me. So that's a little bit of background about me too, the short version of who I am. But I feel like, you know, I know for the most part, the kind of woman who attends my classes and programs and programs like this, you know, you're interested to work on yourself and you have much love to give and maybe also a little confused on why it's been so difficult with relationships and wondering if something is wrong with you or maybe you're not enough or not enough of this or too much of that or there's something about the way you look. You know, you've been hurt perhaps or disappointed and also wondering you know, if being single is your fate, or maybe you've given up or feeling like you can't have what you want, and then you consider settling for something that's not quite what you really, really desire. But I want you to know that all of that is okay, and it kind of doesn't matter now. Because what I mean by that is, I hope you do keep going, that you don't settle, that you do just keep learning and growing yourself and keep going for it. I mean, you can have it all. You can have exactly what you want. You can have that deeper love. It is right for you, and you are absolutely enough. You do deserve big love and amazing relationships. You know, in a relationship with a man that truly adores you and only you. You know, just to fast forward just a little bit now from, to go back like a little history of, I told you who I was, but maybe to understand, you know, where I've come from in my child bringing, because that, you know, as we develop ourselves growing up, that also takes on a part of us too. So let me just give you some history of where I've come from and where my beliefs come from. Now, as it turns out, I repeated many of the mistakes that, many mistakes, I don't know if they're mistakes, but modeled some of what I've learned from my upbringing, from my mother. So after meeting Riyadh, in this relationship, which is now flourishing, but experiences didn't always serve me in that way. You know, what I mean is I had three father figures when I was growing up. My mother has also been married four times. My biologic father and mother broke up when I was very young, four or five. And I didn't actually meet my real father again until I was about 19, and I was actually married at the time. Now, my second father is who I, for the most part, through my younger years, thought of as my father. But that was a rocky time, too. As it turns out, he was also married to another woman at the same time he was married to my mother. And to top it off, he was also in the mafia. Now, I know that sounds crazy. It does to me too. Certainly, I didn't know this when I was young, and my mother didn't know this at the time either. But we learned this later on. But we were often left alone. He would often leave my mother, and you know, for unannounced, and just leave for many weeks at a time. And what was happening was he was going back to his other wife and children, and spending time with them. And then he would come back, and we'd be all happy again, and you know, And it turns out we moved practically every year. Every year I went to a new school as a young girl. I was always the new girl in the class. You know, and I remember walking home from school and seeing him drive by in his car, not seeing me, but with his clothes all packed and hanging in the back of the car. And I knew then that he was leaving us again for a long time. And certainly I got home and my mother was, you know, of course, upset and crying again. And I just remember seeing her often crying and pregnant. She had three children by him. So she was often pregnant and left alone. And it was just part of just what I remember about my childhood days. Well, eventually Mom married again, and this was now her third husband. And that was when I was a teenager. I wasn't necessarily really close to him at the time, that man, but it was part of my experience to be with him too. So what I said before is, you know, I repeated some of that throughout my own life, repeated the behaviors, and I've been married three times now. And so it's through that course that, you know, before I married Riyadh, I did some work on myself, and I wanted to find out what was going on with me. So my first husband was my daughter's biological father. We were married several years, and he was much, much older than me. I was in high school, right out of high school when we got married, and he was like 15 years older. And that lasted, you know, several years, and we just eventually grew apart. We were just so different. Then my second husband was totally different, and he was, you know, pursued me. He was always, you know, wanting me to, you know, go out with him, and that went on for quite a while, and finally I agreed to, and we ended up getting married. But he took really good care of me. It was a beautiful home. I had money. I didn't ever have to worry about money like I did in my first marriage, and it's like a fairy tale type of a marriage. And, you know, when I started running when I was with him, and we had fun doing that. But he was diabetic too, so he was insulin dependent, and this is a childhood type of diabetes. And so that was always part of, you know, he was a little bit sick along the way, and it affected the relationship and how he felt. But as it turns out, it didn't last a long time, the marriage. That time my daughter was a teenager, and she was very rambunctious and a little bit difficult at times, and a little bit too difficult for him. So he eventually asked me basically to choose between her and him. I mean, like, first of all, send her away to live with her father. She can't live here anymore, or we can't be together. And that was just crazy. I felt like we were kind of on our honeymoon. You know, we were so close, and there was love, and it was great. But then there was, how could somebody ask me to, you know, like chop off my arm, basically, right? So, you know, I made the choice to leave that relationship. So it was during that break then that I spent time, really, I guess it's when my spiritual path really started. I knew that I needed to look at what was going on with my life. What was I recreating these relationships that really weren't long-lasting or fulfilling or as precious as I always heard they could be? You know, why did it have to be so painful? So anyway, that's what started me on my spiritual path, and several years, and that was really probably the best time of my life, I have to say, is to get to know me, to have that time alone, to find out who I was and what I wanted and what I wanted in a relationship. So anyway, so like I was saying, so all this kind of led up to this point where I'm in right now, and why I feel like I know a lot about women, and I've experienced a lot, and it's important to share and for us to talk about that and to learn from each other and to know that we are all deserving, and we do all have experiences that are very unique to our own, and we can learn from them. And I also want to honor you for being here and the desire that you have for more love. Not as that we need someone else to complete us, but as in human beings, we all need and deserve someone who is loving and supporting, and to be this in return for them, so that we can, you know, flourish and thrive in this beautiful part of our life that we're all allowed and entitled to experience. And the truth of it is, we don't have to be perfect either. And I know as women, we tend to think that we have to be perfect all the time, but we don't have to be. You know, it's appropriate to desire support. It's appropriate to want to laugh and enjoy life with someone who cares. You know, it's appropriate to desire a partner that can help you make decisions and to share your ideas with, and who will motivate you or lift you up when you're down, and lift you up to your highest potentials and support you as you go for them, as you do them. You know, to take care of you when you're sick, to be there for you. You know, partnerships are extremely important in our lives. Absolutely. So, you know, just imagine waking up each day with this kind of support, and keep holding on that desire, and don't ever give up on it. You know, there are many mixed messages in our media, like we must love ourselves before we can have or love another. You know, there is a lot of truth to that, absolutely. But there's also more to that that we don't always hear about. I mean, if you've been working on yourself, trying your best, if you're a good person and striving for rewarding relationships and doing what you can to create them, then what's going on? Why has it been so difficult? Why are they so difficult at times, or short-lived, or elusive? Well, I believe it's because we've often been taking the wrong approach and doing things that have been maybe against ourselves and intentionally. And even being only in external action, as in we just have to do this or do that out there in the world, and not really looking in or not understanding ourselves, knowing ourselves, and looking a little bit closer and seeing what our beliefs are or what our role models have modeled for us and what perspective did they come from and how have that have we taken on those perspectives and, you know, showed up in our life in those ways that maybe we're not have not been serving us or not believing in ourselves. You know, we all have learned behaviors and beliefs about love and, you know, where those are coming from. And it's time to question them, questioning our understanding of them and the innate differences of men and women down to a cellular level. And these things we haven't learned or witnessed or perhaps understood. Or what about tapping into our love essence and our feminine essence, the feminine side of ourselves? As women, we are naturally nurturing, compassionate. We trust. We're intuitive. But we often dismiss this powerful side of ourselves. So all of this has, it's caused a gap between deeply desiring the love that we deserve and from receiving it, and from receiving long lifetime partnerships. So this class today is going to help bridge the gap a little bit. And now, teaching all there is to the chemistry of love and cracking the men code and manifesting the men is, you know, would take several classes and multiple weeks of doing that. And I do intend to do that also together in an upcoming course too, and that starts in the near future around the 1st of October. And I'll be doing that on Tuesday nights too, and it'll be for 6 weeks. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But today, I'm going to start you on a path of creating something new, perhaps, that will help you and help you right now and give you some juicy, fun, enlightening information and things to think about right now. Some that maybe you've heard of and some maybe you haven't and or haven't really, or maybe you've heard of them and you haven't really embodied them. So maybe you'll hear them a little bit in a different way, or maybe your readiness is, you know, different now. And, you know, of course, and maybe some that you haven't heard, but such as things like about who he is and what he wants and what are some differences that are keeping love at bay, because things that we haven't understood regarding the power of magnetizing these differences in a way that unites us rather than destroys us. And what about the qualities that a high-valued man wants in a woman and how you can be in alignment with those qualities? And what are some of the mistakes that women make, and often unintentionally, that undervalues men and their feelings of us? You know, like I mentioned before, we'll continue this. So we'll talk about all of those things, and we'll continue talking about an upcoming program, too, that will even take it further than we have time for today. But all of this is about truly manifesting the relationship that you want, to find the love that you deeply desire, to understand what he wants, how to tap in deeper with your feminine essence, and to align that with the masculine. It's quite an interesting process, too, when we really grasp a hold of it and understand it. So let's talk about first a little bit about some differences. Let me share something a little bit. It's kind of funny with you. It's a funny fact. Have you ever wondered why men have nipples? I mean, we have nipples, right? But why do men have nipples? I guess I wondered that too, and I heard something not too long ago that explained it, and it was the first time I heard that. Maybe you already know this, but the truth of it is, we all start out in the first 8 weeks of gestation, we all start off the same. We're all developing initially as women. And then somewhere after that 8 weeks, some of us, and it turns out it's the men, get this zap of testosterone. And so the residual effect is they're boys, they're men, right? But they still have the nipples. And that is really the only reason why men have nipples. I just thought that was really funny. It's certainly, I guess, one of the things that we have alike. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit here now where it all began. And, you know, way back in the caveman days. And certainly you've heard some of this, where the men were the hunters and the women were the gatherers. So they went out and hunted and they're to provide for us and to provide food, and they offered us food and they were there to protect us. It's just what they did. It's just what they naturally knew to do. This process continues to carry out in today. And what I mean is it's really huge to a man even now, as in our response to what he is giving us, to what he's providing for us. Now, initially, yes, it was all a life or death. It was food. It's, you know, it's just, that's what he did. But for thousands and thousands of years, men have been programmed to provide for us. And also, men will instinctively, not in all cases, and none of this is in all cases, but in most cases, they will instinctively sleep closest to the door, or perhaps even sit facing the door in a restaurant or somewhere out in public, because it's this innate thing as from being a caveman, being cave watchers, and to protect and provide. Now, women back in those days were the gatherers, and we still do much of that now too. We were gathering and collecting the children and taking care of each other and keeping the unity and the family together. And also we gathered some of the food too, because we had they call it more cones in our eyes, which we were able to detect color differently. And so we would be able to see the fruits and the berries on the trees, and even to a level to where we could tell if the fruits were safe to eat or not. We were very attuned to that. And it's really part of tapping into our intuition and knowing the differences. We also had in our eyes, these cones in our eyes, and it's still so today, of course, we have able to see further and able to see wider. It's the peripheral vision, where men are more the tunnel vision. You know, so I guess a little side note to understand that now is, you know, it's probably why men get caught more often when maybe they're with us and they're looking at other women, because they have to turn their head to look. But, you know, as women, we really do the same thing, but we have the peripheral vision. So we can see around us, further to the side of us, without ever having to turn our head. So we have, this is really a big difference to it within how we see things too. You know, we might be over next to a man and we're maybe wanting the attention or looking at him, and he doesn't really even see us or notice if we're doing some kind of gesture or something, because unless he turns his head. And often we think he can because we can do, right? As women, we also have super hearing. You know, we could hear higher pitch sounds. And this was, you know, because to hear the baby cry, to hear that high pitch sound of a voice. And we notice different pitches and tones in communication and in voices. And this also helps to enhance our intuition and our trust for people when they're speaking to us. As women, we're also more skin sensitive. In fact, 10 times more than men. That's probably why we like cuddling and being touched. Our skin is more sensitive and we love that. We have enhanced sense of smell and taste. And we even have receptors in our mouth, and it affects our DNA and their DNA. For example, with kissing, know, we can decode his immune system through his saliva. We can tell if when we're kissing, if he has, you know, we have this vibe for us. We can tell if it's a dead fish, you know, kiss, and if we're attracted to him or if he's attracted to us by the way he kisses, or if fireworks starting to fly. This is like a way that we chemically bond to them through kissing, and if we sleep with them. It's very addictive chemical bond. Now, he has a little bit of this too, but it's quite enhanced with a woman. It can be very addictive, and some say even as much as cocaine, believe it or not. This might explain why we often keep going back to someone when we know they're not good for us. But we have this addiction, and we just keep going back and keep going back and repeating the same destructive behavior in the relationship because we haven't broke the addiction. And this is all enhanced during ovulation. So that also might explain some of our emotions too. Okay, now. Now, there's no secret about communication that we communicate differently. And the truth is, we must break down the miscommunications and our unmet expectations to thrive together. You know, nothing helps us grow more spiritually than a relationship. Okay, so now let's discuss a little bit on the topic of the law of polarity. I mentioned another universal law earlier on, law of attraction, and that's what this is. It's a universal law. It's science, and it's considered a spiritual law. Law of polarity says, it says many things, and but it says many things are the same, but on opposite ends of the spectrum, or the pole. So without one, we could not have another, and they work together for the greater good. So an example is, if we didn't have sadness, we would not know the experience of joy. Other examples include night and day, big and little, love and hate, failure and success, good and bad, and that list could go on and on, but also masculine and feminine. We're in opposite poles, on opposite sides of the same pole. And we cannot have one without the other. So these are polarized energies, and they attract each other. They pull in each other. The night pulls in the day. The big pulls in the little. The love pulls in the hate. They pull toward each other, as in the masculine and the feminine. They pull toward each other. So it's important to know and understand these masculine and feminine energies and how they work together, but also to know that we all have a little bit of both, as in, as women, we also have masculine energy, and as men, they also have feminine energy. But we're generally dominant in one or the other, right? So the key is to understand these differences and to use these energies and or these traits. There's traits that I'll go over with you and how we can use them and where we're coming from and how effective they can be when we understand them for achieving different kinds of results. And that could be not just in relationships, but in business and with friends and families when we understand these differences. So let me give you a few of the traits or the attributes of the masculine. And I'll just list them off here. And maybe as I list them off and I'll list off the feminine, you might just take notice of yourself to check in, like, you know, which ones maybe you're more dominant in. So some of the traits of the masculine: it's determined, competitive, more in the head, thinking, you know, cognitive, goal-oriented, you know, going for the end result, focused, provider, logical. You know, it's more in the external action, like out of the body, doing things in the outside world. Now, some of the attributes and traits of the feminine: nurturing, emotional, intuition, more into the body, following the intuition instead of being in the head. Cooperative, as in, you know, likes connection and support and getting support and being supportive. More about creativity and in not necessarily about always about the end result, but enjoying the process and the journey. So it's internal focus as well, not always have to be doing. And it's also about receiving. Now those are the basic different traits too, but it's maybe noticing which ones that you're more dominant in, and you certainly have all of them. Now both of us, masculine and feminine energy dominant, can be, you know, controlling in our own ways, and all of these traits are very powerful in their own way too, when we know how to use them. You know, in the workforce or in the corporate environment, and I know this from firsthand experience, it's very masculine energy based. It's all about getting things done and being focused and determined and following a certain process and getting to an end result and making this happen, right? And it can be very draining for women to be in that environment for a long time. You know, and the truth of it is we've really, for the most part, mastered much of the masculine qualities, especially when we're in those type of environments for a long time. And they have served us to a certain degree, but perhaps we've gone too far. And when we're in those environments and we're in that masculine energy too long, it can actually be detrimental to us at times and to affect our relationships and not even realizing what's going on, but because we're always in just this one way, which is really what our society teaches us to be. So it's of no fault of anybody's. It's just way we've been conditioned to be, especially in those type of environments. You know, there's this book called Blink, and it's a book about, you know, this type of topic, but really about business too. But it does say in one part of it that the highest paid CEOs, you know, it talks about their traits and their qualities, but it says one thing, and that was very interesting. It says the highest paid ones are the ones that have also mastered their intuition, which is quite interesting because that is definitely a feminine quality. And I believe that it's one of the best qualities, and we're very fortunate to be able to maybe tap into that a little easier than men can when we choose to. Intuition can really serve us in so many ways. You know, when a woman is in her feminine, she allows and encourages his masculine to come out. But when she's not, when she's more in this masculine side of herself and not even knowing that she's doing it, she actually can repel his masculine, especially when it comes to love. Interesting, huh? Okay. Let me see what I have going forward. I guess I would say, you know, maybe, you know, ask yourself, what ways or what can you do to, instead of being in this masculine way, what way can you be more in your feminine and to activate his masculinity, and which also activates his attraction to you? Well, one of the answers is that to develop your pulling power, this polarization, this pulling in of your feminine energy that pulls him into you, and to practice joyful receptivity, joyful receiving. Now, let me explain. You know, remember what I said about the caveman and his natural learned way to provide and protect us, right? Because the masculine is very excited to do anything for us and excited to see our joy when he gives us something, anything. He wants us to, you know, appreciate him. But often we don't really recognize this. And maybe we think he's giving us something that, you know, I don't know, we don't know if we want or not, or it's not quite right. And we might dismiss it or complain a little bit. But this is what will shut him down, especially if it happens repeatedly over and over. He doesn't feel appreciated, and he starts to give less and less, and then we wonder what happened. Now, when we do appreciate, that lights him up, and he's eager to do it more and more, right? But what we also do at the same time is because we're naturally generous and wanting to give back. So he gives us something, and if we're, you know, recognizing and appreciating it, and so we want to give back. But what we often, we do this a little bit too early on, perhaps, in a relationship. And, you know, men don't always take this with our intention as a contribution, but because the masculine is very competitive, it kind of comes across a little bit competitive to them, like, oh, I gave her this, and then she gave me something back, and it's maybe bigger or different or better or whatever, right? So it kind of feels like competition, and but that's not our intention, but that's what comes across in his mind to him. And it's, and competition is very masculine energy, and we don't want to make him feel like we're competing. We don't want to be in that competition. That's not who we are. So we want to avoid doing this type early on. Just enjoy the receiving. You know, this is so huge. And as women, we really need to learn to receive. Certainly, you know, as nurturers and mothers, we give and we take care of, and we're really about giving, but it's a little bit harder for us to receive, even to receive a compliment. But that's something that's extremely powerful. Even if we want to receive from the universe and manifesting and creating things, it's learning to accept, to say thank you, to appreciate, say yes to what's being offered to us. And not feel like we have to feel guilty or we're not good enough to have it. It really is that simple in many ways to making him happy and from wanting him to do more for us. You know, even when a man takes us out to dinner, you know, I even heard a man describe it this way one time. He said, you know, when I take her out, you know, I feel really happy and I'm wanting to take care of her and I wanted to, you know, provide for her. And I kind of feel like, you know, like, oh, I created this menu for her and I'm like here presenting this to her. And I feel like, you know, the food is really important. And it's like almost like I'm fixing the food for her. I'm just really proud to have her there. Maybe like I even own the restaurant. I'm just really proud. And that's how he feels. And he wants us to, you know, appreciate and enjoy it. And just to receive it with joy and just allow it to happen, you know, to happen. I remember when I was in that, you know, single stage for a while and dating, and I was dating a man, and he was, you know, one of those kind of guys we really like. I was always bringing flowers, and I just loved, you know, I loved receiving those. And but he would, and he would bring them to me like every date, not just the first one, you know, or not just my birthday or whatever, but, you know, every time we went out, you know, it was always bringing me flowers. And one time I was talking about it and I said, you know, it's just so lovely that you always bring me flowers. It's not just a one-time thing. And what he said to me was, that's because you really appreciate them. I've never dated a woman that I appreciate them as much as you. Sometimes they say, oh, you don't have to, or, you know, or just kind of dismiss it. I mean, you know, so it's just the appreciation of it. And I didn't even really recognize it, but I definitely learned from that, from that experience with him, that that does make them feel good. And they do want to really just make us happy, and they will continue when we appreciate that. Okay, so let's move on a little bit more. I'm just taking the time. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the qualities that attract men. You know, we all have low and high value quality or low and high version of ourselves. And, you know, if we want to cultivate higher value, higher qualities, then we need to be really crystal clear on what that is for us, right? So let's try this and talk through this a little bit. Put yourself in the mindset of a highly attractive, high-value man. You know, this man that, you know, not as an egotistical, but this man that you really would be proud to be with, this man that you really want in your life, this man you could curl up with at any moment and just want to spend your life with. It's really on your list of the type of man you want in your life, this high-value man. So what is his day like? You know, if he's this awesome quality of a man, then obviously other women notice that too, right? And how do other women try to get his attention? Do they flirt with him? Are they giving him his phone number? Are they aggressive and making eye contact? You know, what's going on in his everyday life? What does he experience with this? And what does he think about this? And how does he feel about himself, about where he is in his career and how he's doing and if he's feeling rewarded in life and on, you know, on a certain path and following that path? How is he feeling about that? You know, and also just know that this man that you have on your list, this high vibe man, he is out there. And he's probably wondering where you are, because he's looking for this woman, and we all have somebody for us. So he's looking for you too. But, you know, what is his life like? Imagine what qualities he's looking for. What is he experiencing? You know, what is he looking for in a woman? Maybe if you have your, you know, pen and paper there, maybe you can make a list of some of these qualities that you sense that he's also looking for. This woman he wants to date, or this woman he wants to be his wife. You know, and when I say qualities, I'm not necessarily talking about characteristics, not, you know, is she blonde or is she certain size, or does she have brown eyes or green eyes? You know, although that's good too, and there is a guy who finds you sexy, whatever you look like and whatever size you are and whatever physical attributes you have, there is a man that finds you sexy, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about characteristics. So just write down a couple what you think. And then I also have a couple of questions maybe to continue with that writing down exploration. As you're writing down what he thinks are the most attractive qualities. Now, you know, this is the qualities that are generating from the inside out, like I said. And it helps to really get crystal clear on what you feel this is. And because maybe you'll notice some qualities that you want to engage in more and to cultivate a little bit more of. And also, what do you think this man, this emotionally intelligent, fun, smart, successful man, what does he find unattractive in a woman? What are some of those things? Maybe a few more notes and just thinking about those. You know, and then you can look at these two lists and just notice that, you know, this is actually your own prescription of a high-valued woman in a relationship versus a low-valued woman. And what does these lists say? What does it say to you? What's the reflection that you get to this? What he wants and what he's looking for? You know, I'll share with you here in just a moment, you know, I'll share with you some qualities from men as what they say. These are from studies that I've read about, and even from panel discussions I've been on. Some studies that they say that they shared what they found as unattractive qualities for a woman and what the attractive one is along with it. But, you know, the number one unattractive quality that they said was insecurity, as in a woman who is a 10 and acts like a 1. You know, sometimes men, you know, they want empathy and they want understanding and they want attention too. But we don't always see this, and sometimes we're all about ourselves, or we're looking for them to validate us. You know, for example, you know, maybe he comes home from work and he's tired and exhausted, or even if we're not coming home, but maybe we're going out or something, and you're meeting somebody, and he's tired and talking about that, how hard his day was, and somehow we tend to get on this maybe defensive way or something like, you know, we had a hard day too, and I worked hard too, and that kind of thing. And it's like a defensive type thing, and that's usually a trigger. It's a reaction. It's a fear of some sort of maybe not being enough and wanting to be validated and, you know, wanting more love or wanting them to care about us and not really noticing what he's needing and what he's sharing and just being there for him and being a soft place for him to land and listening to him. You know, when being defensive and we're trying to increase our own value, but this can also backfire. You know, a high valued woman, a high valued person would not take the defensive approach. Another unattractive quality was being self-conscious of our body. You know, the truth is I don't really care that much about our imperfections, especially all these ones that we bring up in ourselves about our size of our body and, you know, our weight or our hair color or, I don't know, our fingernails, all these things that we, you know, we just think are not good about ourselves. The truth of it is what he really likes, and it, regardless of our size or what we look like, is that if we think we're sexy, if we love ourselves, if we feel good in our own skin, if we walk with confidence and we, you know, have this like energetic, fun personality and enjoy being in our own skin, enjoy who we are, and not always picking ourselves apart or dismissing compliments, that is a really a big turn on for men. Another a quality that's unattractive in their eyes is being suspicious, you know, not believing in them and trusting them, and especially for no fault, you know, but rather to naturally trust and believe in him and know that he's a good person. And the truth of it is we cannot give what we don't have in ourselves. So if we don't believe in others, then it kind of shows that we don't really have self-belief, right? Something to look a little bit closer at. You know, men really do want to be our hero. And they want to see if we believe in them. They can feel it. Now, sure, some men, you know, sure, it's okay to earn this a little bit, and there may be reasons why we don't trust, and we've had experiences, absolutely. And so I'm not saying anything about that. But it's also, you know, also that some of us are just naturally suspicious because we've just been taught that you can't trust a man, or we've heard stories from our girlfriends and things like that. You know, so. You know, there's, you know, one of my clients one time, she was telling this, you know, being real transparent and telling this story about, you know, she's dating this guy for the first time, and they were just went out and they had this great date, maybe a couple times, this great date, and they were getting along really good, and they would, you know, text a little bit, and so then all of a sudden they were texting, and then he stopped texting, and like for a day, like 24 hours, maybe it was 2 days, and over this course of time, she was, her texting back was, "Where are you? Why aren't you answering me?" And, you know, it got like a little bit more desperate sounding. Excuse me. And, you know, she became like kind of like accusing him of doing something wrong. And as it turns out, he was, had an emergency phone call. Somebody in the family was in the hospital. He left town for 2 days. And he was in the emergency room and or this ICU unit, and he didn't have his phone. He couldn't have your phone in there. So when he left there and he was coming home, he got all these text messages came in all at once. And it, you know, sort of looking more and more desperate and really sad about, you know, how she was responding just because he wasn't answering back in a certain time frame. She became very suspicious. So anyway, it turned out they're still together, but it was just really a big learning thing for her. Another unattractive quality is pushing exclusivity too fast. You know, often he wants to be the one to pursue the exclusivity. I like to call it relationship pacing, right? You know, women are, we want them to get really emotional to us and connected to us, but actually we are the ones that we know this sooner on than they do. They take a little bit longer. So when we notice it, we want to kind of push it and to make it exclusive and that he's just ours and he's not dating anyone else. But the truth of it is, he does get emotionally connected to us, and it just takes him maybe a little bit longer. And there, gets there, but he really doesn't want anybody else to get your attention. So he will take the next step if we time in the time and the patience, and we just trust in ourselves. Part of being in the feminine is being trusting, enjoying the process, right? Remember, enjoying the journey, not going just for an end result, but just enjoying it and being with him and being happy and appreciative of the time that we have with him and allowing him to be who he is and understanding his process to get there. Another unattractive quality is a woman that doesn't have any interest in anything. She doesn't know what she wants. She doesn't know what she wants to do. She doesn't have any hobbies. You know, a high-value woman has things going on in her life. She has interest. She has passion. She has hobbies. She goes out exercising. She does a variety of different things. She has friends. She knows what she likes, and she knows what she doesn't like. She has excitement in her life. She doesn't need or depend on him or anybody else to give her the excitement. But she also knows that she can ask for what she needs and wants in a relationship in a relaxed way, not a demanding way. And it's okay to do that because she knows what it is. And it's okay to ask for it in a relationship. And she's not a martyr. Like in poor me, I never get this. I never get to go there. He never calls me. You know, she doesn't have that kind of mentality. But she lets good things come to her and appreciates them. And she asks for them. You know, if a woman doesn't trust herself to receive from him and for what she wants, then she tends to become controlling. As in, she has to force him or demand things, and that's a big turnoff too. But when we trust and you ask and you trust that he will deliver, because that's what he loves to do, it will come to you even more easier. You know, the masculine is very turned off when a woman pushes him to get what she wants instead of allowing him to bring it. Okay, another unattractive quality is maybe being too serious, but instead to be more playful and see joy and beauty and be spontaneous. That's really exciting to the opposite sex, to the masculine. You know, she is this woman who goes for what she wants with or without him. She has a life. She enjoys living it. She's not this Disney gal waiting to be rescued or waiting for him to take her somewhere. She goes for what she wants with or without him. You know, men do not want to be the missing link and to make you whole, but they want to be with a whole woman. So ask yourself, when are you comfortable in your own skin? When are you easygoing and playful? Can you be more of this way? If so, how? You know, we all have these things when we feel good and when we're happy. You know, it's we get into our feel-good state or, you know, our sunshine state. You know, that's we naturally fall into being more on the high-valued side, right? So how can you be in your sunshine state or feel good more often? There's a couple suggestions I have for you, and it can start at the beginning of your day. You know, the truth is you have a choice every day how you want to be, how you want to show up, to be fun-loving, spontaneous, to go for what you want. You know, there's always a choice. So in the morning, maybe make this a little practice of yours. Ask yourself, I have a couple of questions you can ask yourself. Who shall I be today? Confident, generous, funny, inspiring, supportive? Can I allow myself to receive? And who can I serve today is another question you can ask yourself. You know, being in a state of feeling good naturally generates high value qualities. You know, when you ask yourself, don't intellectually think of the answers, but intuitively listen for the answers from inside. Who can I serve? Who can I be today? Or how can I grow? How can I grow today? What can I learn? You know, life never stays static. It never stops. Think of a plant. When a plant stops growing, it dies. We are the same way. You know, and growing sets off spiritual and biochemical growth that feels really good. And then that definitely generates more high-value qualities in ourselves. Okay. Now, before I go into, I've covered some of the mistakes, certainly, that women make, but I have other things I want to share with you along that topic here in just a moment. But let me take a moment to share with you about the continuation of what we started here. And I hope that's okay with you. And, you know, I'd like to continue what we started here, and that is that you can expect to become more magnetic to love. And I don't mean not having to go out there and get it, as in go here or go there or certain places or certain things you have to physically do. But by magnetic, I mean by pulling it into you, pulling love to you. Now, there's really a lot to this that's so fun to embrace and to share and to put into your life. It's all about the spiritual laws, and that will help you, you know, understanding these spiritual laws will help you into embracing your life and how they apply, what they mean. So I'd love to share more with you about that in an upcoming course. And it's also about identifying barriers that block love. You know, we have these belief structures that maybe we formed when we were young. I certainly did. But, you know, the truth of it is that's what's actually creating our life and how we're living today and what's showing up in our life today. But it's to stop doing what doesn't serve you and to stop any self-sabotage that might be going on. It's not your fate to be alone or to be isolating yourself or saying no unconsciously and blaming others on some level, somebody else, something. And, you know, and do you take risks to be transparent, to be truthful to yourself, to be authentic to yourself and to others, and to show, even to show that you need others. Sometimes, you know, if we've been single, we need to do things on our own, of course, but we kind of shut off this valve of needing somebody else and doing something for others or allowing ourselves to receive and to need others. You know, we really do, all of us, need and deserve help and support. It's okay, even if you can do everything yourself. And then it's also about noticing the patterns that we have that are generating what's happening in our life. You know, for example, maybe you want to have more friends and to go out more often, to meet more people. But sometimes you're thinking like, well, nobody's really calling me. How come I'm not getting some of those? I mean, I thought my girlfriends are going out. Why is nobody calling me? But do you ever ignore the phone when it rings and don't want to answer it because you're kind of so used to being alone that you keep pushing yourself to be alone, not answering the phone? Or do you ever call and invite anybody else or plan the party? Things like that. These are patterns that we really need to notice that might be generating the life that we have unintentionally. But then we think it's always something else or someone else or that's creating it. So just looking at that, not as a blaming way, but just as awareness. And, you know, sometimes you have to just stop and just look. If we don't ever do that, then we lose an opportunity to grow. And then, do you really know what you want? Or, like in a relationship, or do you know just what you don't want? Sometimes it's hard to say if somebody asks you what you want, whether it's relationship or even in your life. What do you want? Sometimes it's hard to answer that, but we can say, well, I don't want this. I don't want a man that smokes, and I don't want a man that doesn't have a job, and I don't want, right? We can name those off just like, you know, snapping our fingers, right? But what is it that you really want? You know, it's really okay to be supportive. And I learned that we really do need support and structure if we are to learn different ways and to learn different perspectives that maybe aren't just from, oh, maybe our girlfriend's woes or their bad experiences, right? But in a different way. You know, so we can develop the love that we want. And most of us don't really quite know how to do this. We haven't really been taught in our life about relationships. We just watch others or parents or TV or the movies or, you know, again, our girlfriends or things that haven't worked. So what I want to take you, I guess what I want to say to you is I want to take you by the hand and maybe walk you through a process of manifesting a manifesting love process and to put you in line with the chemistry of love energy and to body more of your feminine and to aligning with your own power, your feminine power, and the divine power. To see yourself and men in a different way, in a different light. And to continue learning more about the masculine, the differences, and the way that you can communicate and be supported. So, if you feel called to go forward then and to put yourself in this place and so this year, maybe where it's going, and maybe to end the year with a partner or meeting a new guy or trying something different, and to be open up to some new belief, then I'd like you to try something with me. I've created a five call program that begins in just a few weeks. It begins about the first week of October. And so if you're near a computer, then you can go to this with me. If you're not, you can just maybe jot it down or look at it later. But if you're near a computer, you can go to www.empowerthedream.com/chemistry-love. empowerthedream.com/chemistry-love. And I'm going to just go there really quick right now so I can just, I won't go over all of it, but I just want to just kind of just walk you through a couple things real quick. So if you scroll down, you can see maybe halfway down the page, there's a lot that I've listed there that this five call program includes. You know, things like identifying your inner love frequency, which is actually a scientific frequency that we all have, and how to use it to increase our love and magnetize it toward us. How to date with confidence and elegance. And, you know, the truth of it is, it all starts when you walk into a room. And what I mean by that, there's a certain way you walk connected to your feminine source in your body that brings about more confidence in you. And then it's understanding, you know, I'll go over about relationship modes, I call them, but it's actually hormones. And I don't mean testosterone or estrogen. But there's different hormones that impact connectedness. And it's important to understand these and how they impact and when his are showing up and when yours are showing up and what they mean. And it's about embracing your feminine magic. And, you know, we have this energy in our body. And for a woman, it's in a certain part of our body. It's in our womb space. For example, you can rub your hands together right now. And rub your hands together. And then if you pull your hands apart, you feel that energy, that, right? So we all have this field of energy around us, first of all. And that's how when somebody walks by you, you can tell if they're in a good mood or a bad mood just by their energy, their vibe. We also have a power source of energy within us. And it's in a certain part of our body. And when we tap into that, when we know where that is and we know how to tap into that, it begins to stir up and it begins to fulfill our body, and we kind of radiate in a different way, and we glow in a different way, and we feel more confident. And that comes out the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we connect to others. You know, it's about, the program is also about what makes a woman addicted to a woman's love, It's about determining your readiness for love. Sometimes we say that we want it, but we have these unconscious behaviors and patterns that block it away that we're not always aware of. And it's about learning how to tap into all of the universal laws. There's several universal laws. I mentioned a couple of them, but I didn't go into a lot of detail. And I certainly will go into much more detail in this course, how you can tap into those. And you know, the truth of it is, the feminine energy and the universal law of attraction, for example, are absolutely magnetic together. You can pull in absolutely everything you desire when you align with it and when you know what it is. Knowing what it is extremely important, and we'll do exercises on that. So there's a lot to look through here that this course covers. You can see that, go there on your own time. You know, it includes several ways to learn, to embody all of this, and to be in alignment to more love and attracting it in your life and in your soulmate. And I'll give you experiential exercises that you can do on the call and on your own. You'll learn through journaling, through the audios, through self-explorations, through your Feminine Power Center. Just quite a bit to cover in this five-week program. It's actually a combination of two programs that I've done, one online as in a course that you do on your own, and then one in workshops. And I've combined it all together. It's one of my favorite kind of courses to do. So let me just keep moving forward. Okay, so in this program, I'm giving you two options how you can participate, and you can see that if you continue to scroll down, you can participate. There's option one and option two, and the cost of each one of those, the option one is the higher valued one. You get all the conference calls, you get a private session to check in to see how you're doing, what's working, what's not working, ask your personal questions that maybe you don't want to ask for anybody else, and get the worksheets, those lessons that you can do, that you get to take away and have forever recordings. And then also, if you see where I wrote there, just say with me to the very end here, I also have a bonus if you want to participate in option one, then I'm going to give you another bonus that's a $50 value for that. And if you choose option two, you'll definitely get to be on all the conference calls and you'll get the recordings. But it's without the private session, it's without the worksheets. It's without any of the bonuses as well. Okay, so you can look at that more on your own too. Now let me say something here, and I'm saying this from my own personal experience. Many times in the past, when there's something that I really, really wanted and I really wanted to do, I often would deny myself of that. I would deny, you know, for whatever reasons, maybe, you know, I didn't think I was good enough for it, I could do it, or I had the money for it, or it was pushing me out of my comfort zone. Something that was fear-based, that I was limiting myself. And a high-value woman does not limit herself. She finds a way to go for what she wants. It's kind of like being that tip-of-the-arrow woman that I mentioned on the meetup site, you know, just being going for what she wants and not being afraid to step out of her comfort zone and finding a way to make it work. And what I ask you to do is just follow your intuition. If you're aligning with some of this information, if you want to go forward and be part of it, just trust in yourself and we'll find a way to do it. Follow your intuition. Okay. All right. So let's go on. Now I want to, I know the time is getting, we've been like 70 minutes. So getting close to wrapping up. Let me go into some more of the mistakes and things that we can learn from as women going forward in relationships. You know, there is often a misunderstanding between men and women, and you know, we know that, right? And besides damaging and even destroying our most precious relationships, we sometimes use up the human capacity for problem solving and reconciliation on something as minor as getting the trash taken out. Or we barely are escaping a conversation with our womanhood or manhood intact. But when men and women stop disempowering themselves and each other, our capacities can be harnessed together. And we can address the larger issues in our communities, in our society, and in our world. And absolutely in our relationships, our love relationships, our partnerships together. Just keep this in mind. It's about empowering not just each other, but what we're modeling out into the world to those that are coming after us, to people that work with us, that see us. It's really stepping into a higher vibration of a person, a higher value of a person, and how we can ignite that together. And it really exponentiates. Okay. A high value woman does her best to avoid making mistakes that, you know, any of these mistakes, and some that we've just talked about here, but let me just recap some of those and a few others. A woman who is partnering with her mate from her feminine state of being often makes one of these mistakes. So, one of them is she does not appreciate his masculinity. Men have many gifts to give the world. They protect, they lead, direction. They are focused on what they're doing, and they work hard. They fix things, and they bring adventure to our lives. And they make us feel feminine. But unfortunately, many of us, and many women, often think men should be more like them, and they do not honor their masculine gifts. Just as a woman wants to be understood, just as we want them to understand us, men do too. They want to feel alive in his masculine essence. You know, a high-valued woman appreciates her man. She ignites his essence as he does hers. And, you know, when she's doing this, you don't hear her sitting around saying, where have all the good men gone? You know, I know we talked about some of this before, the caveman stuff. And you know, even if you're not in a relationship, you can practice this, all of these things I'm going to give you, with your friends, with your male workmates. You can begin to practice some of this. You can ask for help. You can tell them what you need. Recognize and appreciate him and thank him. Another mistake. She takes on the masculine role when he doesn't. You know, so often a woman will step into the masculine role when the man doesn't take charge. For example, if he doesn't, or maybe he's not good at making decisions, then we'll step in and make the decision in order to get things moving, right? But a high-valued woman does not need to be the more controlling one in the relationship, and she knows that doing so can possibly cause disharmony. She knows her man will not feel like he's needed or he needs to be in his masculine, or if she's taking on the masculine role, it repels him. It turns him off. He doesn't need to be that. He goes somewhere else and looks where he can be masculine. He will not feel the need to step up or take charge and to treat her as the beautiful queen that she really is. So let him know how much you trust him and trust his decisions. And, you know, you can do specific things every day that show that you trust him. I mean, watch, and when you do so, you can watch this masculine side grow. And again, you can do this whether you're in a relationship or not. You can practice these skills. You know, even I know, like for my husband, you know, sometimes he comes making dishes. Like, what are you gonna do? What are we gonna do for the weekend, right? And sometimes he'll ask me, like, I'm supposed to make the decision, and I've caught myself doing that. Then I realize, well, I don't want to make the decisions. I really want him to, but maybe, so I just need to stop doing that. And but what they also, to help them, to guide them, is give them ideas. Remember, ask for what you want. Give them ideas for what you want. Give them little hints, and then, or give them choices, but let them make the decision. And when he does, and then I appreciate it, even just watching a movie, and it's a really good movie, and I'll say, wow, that's a really good movie, honey. You can kind of see his feathers kind of like perk up, and it kind of gets all ruffled up and like happy, you know, like, oh, yeah, I picked that out, right? It's kind of funny. Another mistake. She does not realize that a man wants a woman who inspires him out of his head. We've heard it said time and time again that men only want one thing. But is this true? Is it true that men put a woman's sexual I mean, it probably is true that men put a woman's sexual attractiveness high on their list of priorities, and that they are biologically programmed more than women to be driven by sex. But also at a deeper level, what a man really wants from his woman is to be inspired out of his head. It's true. You know, they live in their heads all day long. They're thinking, analyzing everything all day. And that's part of why the feminine is so captivating and relaxing to them. They have a deep inner need to let go of this incessant mental activity. Sure, sex satisfies this need too, but there are other ways that a woman can offer this gift. You know, a high-valued woman knows how to express how she feels, more than speaking intellectually. She also stays in her feminine with him in the way that she talks and walks and moves and relates to him. She's fun and easy to be with, silly and spontaneous. And she can invite him in a different way and let him get out of his head and have him always having intellectual conversations and trying to master that with him and one-up him on that and thinking we have to be somehow this super smart in a certain way, right? So inspire him to get out of his head rather than keep him stuck there all the time. You know, in the chemistry of love course that I was talking about, the one going forward, manifesting your soulmate as being a high vibrational woman, I'll teach you more about this too, how to be more in your feminine, how to be more connected so that you feel good being who you are, so it comes more naturally to them, especially if you've been practicing being in the masculine more, in the corporate environment more, and work more. There's lots of exercises that we can do that will help you, and then you'll be able to embody that more and to share that with him in different ways. Just a couple more, we're almost done. Another mistake is a woman often thinks, I don't need a man. And if a man does not perceive that he can be of service to a woman, he won't be attracted to her. And this does not mean you have to play the damn blue in distress or be a nag or be needy, but he will serve you and he wants you to be happy and he wants you to need him. A high-valued woman, you know, as a high-valued woman, you can lift up your man and give him a chance to open the doors for you, and you don't have to make a big deal about it, whether he does it or not, but, you know, or if he carries your bags or not. But when he does, say thank you. Show that you appreciate your need, and that was very helpful. Let him find something to do for you, you know, especially after you tell him something that you want. Let him find his way to do it for you. If you feel emotional, share that. Let him hold you or listen to you, and feel free to ask nicely for exactly what you want. So be open to needing a man. It's not a negative quality. It's a very highly valued quality of a woman that is also a very confident woman. We're about receiving. Remember, being in our feminine. Receiving of life and of this opposite polar of us to receiving and needing. So stop playing the role of the superwoman, a woman who does everything for yourself, even if you can. But to just let go a little bit. You know, what if the greatest sign of a strength were to let go of control and allow someone else to help you? To be open to receive. And then the last one I want to share with you is, she does not deliberately create sexual polarity. A crucial relationship skill is to deliberately create sexual polarity by connecting to your feminine essence at appropriate times. There may be times a day when you do not feel very connected to your feminine essence and may not need to be. That's fine, you know, when you're paying the bills or, you know, when you're at work or something, that's fine. You don't always need to be truly connected to it at all moments. But there are other times when you want to be connected to your feminine, such as when you're lying in bed or when you're relaxing, or when you're on a romantic stroll with, you know, or on a date for the first time, or after a tough day at work. A high-valued woman chooses to move toward her feminine essence as much as possible, especially at appropriate times. You know, and the most important times are like when you're getting ready to go on a date, or when you're spending time with somebody that you really care about, or when you're transitioning from work day to the evening, or even when you first get up in the morning. Now, I taught this in the Feminine Way program that some of you might have been on, is there are some very wonderful skills to for a woman to practice in the morning. Not skills, but some habits to put into her life first thing in the morning so she doesn't start off in the masculine way of doing more. I'll share some of those with you, too, in this five-week course. And by avoiding these mistakes, you will not only be treated like a goddess by men or your partner, but you inspire men to raise up their frequency, to be more of who they are in honor of you and in honor of their own godlike self, which is what he is meant to be here too. Okay, so let's wrap up. So I certainly hope you, and I'm going to give you two little journaling exercises to do just before I end, so I'll get there real quick. So I hope you enjoyed this class. And again, if you want to go further to be a magnet to love or to find your guy or your soulmate or whatever you want to call it and to get back into the dating game or to attract more quality, high-value men into your life, then please trust your inner guidance. If it says to join the upcoming course, please do so. So see it again at empowerthedream.com/chemistry-love. And, you know, to be that tip of the arrow woman, to take action now. And if you do choose to action or the option one, I promise that I would give you one other bonus. And that's additional bonus other than what's already on there, what you will already receive in the course. But if you choose option one, you will also receive three additional guided meditations. Now, what I mean is don't worry if you don't know about meditation, if you think it's something boring or you never tried it or you don't like it. It's not, it's something that you don't have to know how to do, but I say guided as in these are guided exercises to do on your own in your quiet time that'll actually put you in a realm of possibilities, possibility thinking, to get more clarity, to feel good with who you are, to feel more love within yourself, to feel more love around you. Start using the law of attraction and these principles to pull in love to you. It's very, very powerful. It's changing this energy vibration around you. If what's around you in your life right now isn't working for you, these exercises, along with the course, are very powerful. But these, you'll just love these. So this is the bonus that I'm adding to the option one if you sign up now for that program. And so I hope you've enjoyed all this. And if you have any questions about the upcoming course, please just email me and I'll give you my personal email. It's Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, @empowerthedream.com. So don't let yourself be denied, please. Don't let another day go by if you're tired of things the way they are. And get yourself support. That's what we're all here to do for each other. You know, you do deserve to have everything that you want. Okay, so here's the final little thing I want to give you to take away. It's a little exercise you can do on your own. It's just a couple of journaling questions. So get out your paper, and I'm going to give you two journaling questions that you can do this next week. The first one, write about the kind of relationship you really want to have and how it will feel once you find it. You know, studies show that the first step in creating anything is to imagine the possibility of having it. Allowing yourself to write about this glorious relationship that you desire. Write about it as though it was already here now, in the present moment. This signals your unconscious mind to begin preparing you to receive this new love into your life. Suddenly you wake up to possibilities for love and connection that are right here, right now. And you automatically begin showing up in ways that literally weave this future into an existence. I promise you, this is how you co-create the fulfillment of love in your life. Okay? Journal question number two. How will your life be different when you do call in this love in your life, and you do pull in this man of your dream, this high-valued man that you desire to experience life, relationship, a long-term life with? Now, how do you imagine that your life will change when he arrives? How will this person support you? What differences will his love make in your life? What will you be able to do, to be, to have as a result of his loving, happy union that is now yours? Recognize that in order to receive this great love that you're calling in, you also need to open yourself up to even greater levels of happiness, fulfillment, and well-being. And you will be required to let your lonely single days recede into the background and into the memories so you can become more accustomed to being a loved woman, to be known, to be seen, and supported by the amazing person who is devoted to happiness in each of your everydays going forward. So journaling about those days and to come will prepare you to recognize and receive his love when it is offered to you. And during the upcoming program, we'll be uncovering the ways that you may be covertly blocking any of this from happening, having to receive this love. But journal about these now this next week and celebrate the excitement that it feels like to be doing something positive and that's actually moving you forward to change the way you think and feel about the things that's happened and about your life going forward and to remove any blocks. Okay, ladies, this has been quite a call, and I know I did go over a little bit more than what I had said, but I do hope you love to hear your feedback. If you have any questions, email me, Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, at empowerthedream.com, and I look forward to being with you in the upcoming course. And that, my dear, I will say good night. And thank you so much for joining. I'm honored to share this with you and to be here with you and really appreciate those of you that showed up. That really does say a lot about you. Thank you. Good night.